We're learning Perkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud. The Mishnah tells us Shemaya v'Avtalion kibul mehem, that Shemaya and Avtalion, as we mentioned in previous classes, when you have the two zugot, the two pairs, the first name, namely here in Shemaya, would be the Nasi, the president, the leader, and Avtalion would be the Av Bestin. Kibul mehem, they accepted the tradition from them, going back to Mishnah Ches, namely that of Yehuda ben Taboy and Shimon ben Shatach. What did Shemaya say? And when Shemaya said this, it means he lived this. Shemaya Oimer, Ehav es hamalacha. Shemaya tells us, love work. I tell that to my employees every day, if only they'd listen. Usnaes harabanus, despise lordliness. V'altis v'adal rishus, and do not become overly familiar with the government. We have to understand, why was it that Shemaya, why was he the person that chose these words? Why is this something which drove him to think this particular way? We begin by looking at the words of the Bartanura. Who were Shemaya and Avtalion? Gerit Tzedekoyu. They were converts, righteous converts. Umnei Bonav Shel Sancheirivim. And they were related directly to a person by the name of Sancheriv. Sancheriv was an Assyrian king. Apparently they were not Jewish, and they converted. They're Jews of choice. Vishamati, and I heard, says the Bartanura, Shemnei Shehoi Avtalion, discussing really the next Mishnah, the words of Avtalion, where did that name come from? So it says the Avtalion, if you look at the first two letters of his name, is Av. Av Bestin Nikra B'Shem Zeh. He was the Av Talion. He was the father, the leader of the Bestin of the Jewish court system, the judicial system. That's the reason why he was called Avtalion. Shepir Shuhu. So what does it mean, Talyoin or Talia? It means Av Katanim. He was the father or the leader. He oversaw that of the younger people, the minors. Kitalia Balashan Arami Katan. Because if you, for example, maybe heard a girl's name by the name of Talia, Talia really means Katan. It means young one. So a lot of times people wonder, if a man, for whatever reason, has a huge ego and they want to name their kid by their same name as themselves, because God forbid you actually should give your child their own identity, they call them Junior. So the question is, how about your wife? What if your wife also wants to do that? We don't call her Juniorette. Really, that's what Talia is. Talia is Junior, is Katan, the smaller one, as opposed to Senior. Kamo Omer Rav Yochanan, as we find in the Gemara in Megillah, that Rav Yochanan said, Kad Havya Talia, which is Aramaic for Kishayisa Katan. So we see again the word Talia means I was small. Furthermore, in Yevamos, the Bartanura brings a proof. It says, Lesu Talia v'Talyas, which means Yavo Katan v'Katana, bring the small boys and the small girls. Talia, in fact, means small. Afkan, Avtalia Navihen Shel Yisomim Katanim. He wasn't just helping out little kids, but the little kids were Yisomim. They're orphans. They didn't have parents. And obviously, children who do not have parents and not have the guidance, did not have anyone to look over them, to help them, to assist them. That's where Avtalion was. He was a man who took care of his people, especially those who were in the most distraught, those who were in the most pain and destitute. That's why he was Naftalion. Which is a tremendous mila of a tzaddik, of a great person. You would think perhaps you would, as a political figurehead, want to befriend the most powerful people. But we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also embraces and loves the destitute, the downtrodden, the yasam, the almana, the widow, the orphan. And therefore Avtalion did the same. That was brought down, Maisa, Rab Salvechik, that couldn't bake his matzahs one Erev Pesach. and his students wanted to make sure they had all the chumras down. They wanted to make sure that they're going to do everything correctly. They said, Rebbe, what is the most important thing we should do when we bake your matzahs? He said, I'll tell you. When you're baking the matzahs, there'll be women over there. Those women are going to be elderly women. There's going to be women there that do not have husbands. There are going to be women that are widows. Make sure that if they're taking a little bit longer than you do, don't yell at them. Don't critique what they do, because you'll break their spirits. That's the sensitivity of a tzaddik, is an av talyoin, someone who's a father, who looks over those people that did not have what you have. That's the greatness of who av talyoin was. In fact, av talyoin, also brought down, is Aramaic, is an Aramaic form for an apotropos. You ever wonder where the English word father comes from? It's from apotropos, which is a guardian or a godfather. The first half of the word futar, rus, rupus, is fater, a fater, a father. That's what apotropos is someone who looks over another person. And that's what a father hopefully does. Now, although the Bartanura does mention, in fact, that Shmai and Avtalion were Geri Tzedek, were converts, not everyone agrees to this. In fact, it's brought down in the Tosfos Yom Tov on this Mishnah, Ein Lafarshim Atzim Hoyu Geir. You can't possibly say that they, namely Shmai and Avtalion themselves, were converts. Shim Kain, Eich Hoyu Efshir Limnoisa Nasi Vabestin. They should not have been allowed to be appointed as leaders of Klal Yisrael. A ger is certainly entitled to all the privileges of Klal Yisrael. However, at the same time, to be an av bestin, to be a nasi, that we don't allow. And you can say that sounds not very fair. The reality is, if you look even in American law, the great Arnold Schwarzenegger cannot become the president of the United States. Why not? What a tremendous governor he may be in California, but he was not born in the United States. And if you're not born as an American citizen, doesn't make a difference if you came here as an infant, as a toddler, you no longer can ever be the president of the United States. You're automatically disqualified. It's the same thing, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, that a Nasir and Avestin cannot be a ger. Ella, rather, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, Shabo min a gerim. It doesn't mean that they themselves were converts. They came from converts. Vada imon mi Yisrael hayu. Their mothers were Jewish and they were born as Jews. And that's the reason why they were allowed to hold such positions in the Jewish world. One last thought before we move on. Whether they were in fact gerim or direct relatives of Gerim, is the words of the Magen Avos. The Magen Avos says it's true. Because you can ask the question, which one is it? If you hold like the Bartanura that they were Gerim, so what does he do with that simple law, the Tosfos Yom Tov, that you cannot be an Avestin, you cannot be a Nasi, you cannot be a leader if you're a Ger? Which forced Tosfos Yom Tov to say they couldn't have been converts. Says the Magen Avos, you're right. Generally speaking, that is the rule. The rule is that if you are a convert, you're a ger, even though you're a ger tzedek, you cannot be a nasi and avbestin. However, in their generation, Shemaya and Avtalion were the greatest tzaddikim. And there was no one else, no other person who was born as a Jew, that were able to fill that position, the position of nasi, or the position of avbestin, quite like Shemaya and Avtalion. So says the Magen Avos, that even though that rule may generally apply, but in their generation, because they were such great individuals, therefore they were given the position of Nasi and Avbestin, despite the fact that they were Gerim, despite the fact that they were converts. Now Shemaya and Avtalion lived as in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. In fact, Shemaya, who was the Nasi, he was the Nasi for approximately 40 years, from the years 60 BCE, before Common Era, to 20 BCE. And during this time, It was a very difficult time for Klal Yisrael, although we did have the Beis HaMikdash. It was during the reign of Herod the Great, or Hardus, in which he had very much, as a politician, it was difficult to follow the Torah properly, although they did. But to be a leader, a political leader, sometimes has tremendous challenges. And because of all these difficulties and challenges of having to associate yourself and intermingle with Rishayim, with people that are anti-Torah, this is the reason why Shemaiah tells us that even though perhaps on the surface it looks good to be a leader, sonas rabbanus, diatis vadal rishus, to be much better if you can distance yourself from lordliness or to become overly familiar with the government. Because as we'll see in the various mefarshim, by doing so, it puts your own Yiddishkeit, your own Yadus, at risk. Any person that works at a firm knows this. The trials and travails. Should I wear my kippah, my yarmulke for an interview? Should I not? And I'm not saying whether a person decides to or not to, that makes them better or worse of a person. That's something which every person has to assess on their own and ask a shaila to their own community rabbi. However, certainly it puts a challenge, an extra strain in your Yiddishkeit by having to have these dilemmas to start with. But nonetheless, very often we're forced to make these decisions. We have no choice but to put ourselves in these predicaments because of our work. However, we have to try our very best that when we do look for a position, it should be one which embraces our religious culture, and that we should not feel intimidated or threatened or uncomfortable practicing it. According to the words of Shamshul for Hirsch, he asks, what's the significance, the connection between these three seemingly unrelated topics of Ohavas HaMelacha, loving work, Sanes Rabbanus, despising lordliness, positions of power, Beatis Vadal Rishus, and becoming overly familiar with the government and politics? Says Rosh Hashanah Ful Hirsch, the theme of this Mishnah of Yud is independence. If one wants to understand what does it mean to be independent, you study this Mishnah. Why? The first is Ohavas HaMelacha, work. When a person works and they get their paycheck and they get their benefits, it leads to economic independence. That they do not need to come onto other people to be charity cases, which of course if a person needs to do so, that's one thing. But to do everything in our power to have to avoid that predicament, we should become independent. Economically independent, that's Ohavas HaMelacha. Love work, any work. The second, says Rishamshul Ful Hirsch, Ustanes Rabbanus, is that a person should try to distance themselves from positions of power. Because leadership does not make a person free. That now I can do whatever I want and I can boss people around, I can micromanage my staff. Rather, it enslaves a person. Because you will have to do what other people want you to do. Because you're a leader, people expect certain things from you. People expect you to say certain things and do certain things, even though it might be against what your true belief system is. But you need votes. You need popularity. Or else you will not win the next election. And therefore, says Rosh Hashanah Ful Hirsch, distance yourself from a position of power and you'll have independence, you'll have your freedom. Finally, Valtis Vadal Rishus, a person should not be connected to powerful friends, politicians. Because just like if you would be that powerful person, you have no freedom. And ask any person in Hollywood, they cannot walk down the street without a paparazzi chasing after them. So too, if you have powerful friends, you will have peer pressure. You will be forced into doing things that you yourself do not want to do. But nonetheless, you'll do them because of the relationships of the powerful colleagues and friends that you have. Says Rosh Hashanah Ful Hirsch, if you follow this Mishnah, you'll have true chayrus, you'll have true freedom. Continuing with the words of the Bartanura. The Bartanura explains, what does it mean, ohavas hamalacha, to love work? Says the Bartanura, filu yeshlo bamalis farnes. Even if you have enough money to sustain yourself, you're loaded, you're rich, and you don't need to work anymore. Says the Bartanura, chayiv lasoik bamalacha. You still have to work. Why? Why do I need to work if I have my entire life savings set out before me? I do not need to make another penny. I'm set. My children are set. My grandchildren are set. Why do I need to work? Says the Bartanura. Shabbatola mevi'eli deshi. Says the Bartanura, quoting the Gemara in Ksuvos, that if a person does not work, does not do anything, you sit around and do nothing but sit on a beach every single day watching Oprah, watching Dr. Phil, and you don't do anything productive, what will happen? It will affect your mind. It'll lead to a mental deterioration of your mind. That this doesn't mean that when you're 90 years old and you're getting a pension and you have your social security that you have to be in the middle of I-95 digging ditches. It doesn't mean necessarily malacha that you have to be working and not retire. Because that alone is another issue. As a principal of a school, I've seen in many other schools that I've worked in, people who are well in their 80s and their 90s, and they're still working. And for those people that still have the cheshek and the desire and the love and the passion for teaching, kol kavod. But many of them are still there, even though they do not belong there. They have no business being there. Those types of people should retire. But it doesn't mean when you retire, you do nothing. What it means is you have to keep your mind active. You have to, as it says in the book, The Outsiders, stay gold. It doesn't mean that you have to be working, but your mind has to remain active. Just like any muscle, if you do not exercise your brain will become weak. And your brain is hopefully the most important part of your body. In fact, one of my past congregants, a man who was well in his mid-90s, used to walk miles and miles and miles. Here I am, I can't even walk more than one or two blocks. Different generation, I would say. Nonetheless, I would ask him, where are you walking to? He said, I'm going to the JCC. I said, what are you doing there? He said, what do you mean? I run the soup kitchen. Can you imagine a man in his 90s? But the truth is, that person working in his 90s, that's his life. That gives him chizuk, it gives him chiyus, gives him a reason to get up in the morning, gives him life, gives him a sense of belonging, of contributing something positive in this world. Ohavas hamalacha, love your work. Don't stop working, because work should be more than a paycheck. And unfortunately, that's one of the most important things, certainly when it comes to teaching. I see teachers, and there are teachers, and you know them, that are there only to get paid. And it's not just in a teaching position in chinuch, it's in any position. The reality is, if you have to be there anyway, if you have to be from 9 to 5, and you have to clock in and clock out, you might as well enjoy what you're doing. Because you're going to be there anyway. So once you're working, you should put in your mind that you should start loving what you work. Because if you love what you do, you'll do it better. You'll do it with more passion. You'll have a heart in your work. And therefore, says Shemaya, don't just work, but love it. Because if you love your work, then in fact you'll enjoy it. So once heard from a boy when I was teaching in a high school back in Florida, he said a very, very important line that his father taught him. He said, son, pick a job you'll love and you'll never have to work a day of your life. You hear that? Pick a job you'll love and you'll never have to work a day of your life. That's what it means, ehav es hamelacha. However, unfortunately, we see throughout our lives people that just do not have this attitude. They cannot stand work. They can't stand having to go in. They hate their Mondays and they love the weekends. In fact, I think one of the worst American songs ever made, although perhaps it's a very catchy tune, and probably every single Friday at 5 o'clock, this song is played in probably 100 cities, if not more. And the name of the band is Loverboy. And if you ever heard of their song, it was a number one hit in the 80s called Working for the Weekend. Their lyric, "Everybody's working for the weekend," which is a very sad commentary. Which means, I have 7 days of the week, but the truth is, there's only two of those days which have any meaning in my life, Saturday and Sunday. Everything else is just to get to that point. Very sad. Everybody's working for the weekend. There was a boy that would come into my school this past year, and he was down. I asked him why. He goes, I have a whole week of school. It's tough. I told him, there's a non-kosher restaurant, which I do not like its name. So what's that? It's called TGIF. What does TGIF stand for? Thank God it's Friday. And you hear that on the radio every single Friday. Thank God it's Friday. What does that mean? What that sentence is telling you is all the other days I didn't like. If I had a choice, I wish I could just get rid of those days because they're worthless. Because after all, everybody's working for the weekend. I told this boy, I said, instead of saying TGIF, every single Monday morning when you get off that bus, I want you to find me. And I want you to come to my office and say four letters. TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. Because if a person has that attitude and that loves their work, loves going to school, loves every aspect of their life, and not just the weekend, that person will have a fulfilling life. That person will have life with meaning. And therefore, every single day, all year, every single time that child would see me, he would always come up to me and say, "Rabbi, TGIM." The Tosfos Yom Tov tells us, with regard to loving work, what's the significance of this? He says, "Dehashta that now inu osa hamalachim emnei sechara." Similar to the words of the Bartanura, I'm not doing work for the payment. El havasa ba'atzma. You do it for the love of the job. How few people, unfortunately, do we know that have this attitude? Rashi tells us, what does it mean, ehav es hamalacha? Quotes the Gemara in Pesachim. K'de'omar mar, p'shot nevelasa b'shuka. Says Rashi, quoting the Gemara, that if you have a choice to be banging on doors, sending out letters with return envelopes, begging for money, begging for change, which of course there's a mitzvah tzedakah, person has to be marvin giving tzedakah as much as they can, at least 10%, if not 20%. However, on the receiving end, if you are that person that has the choice whether or not to collect tzedakah or to do a job, do the job. In fact, the Gemara says that it's better to be pshot nevelasa b'shuka, to skin and to take care of the smelly, rotting carcasses in the middle of the street, in the middle of the marketplace, where everyone's staring at you, perhaps looking at you like, what type of guy is this? Better that you should work a demeaning job. And don't say, Gavaraba, no, this is beneath me. I'm such a great guy. I can't do this type of a job. Because if a person works for their keep, they're not going to come to steal. They not need to come on to other people to ask for money. And you will be guaranteed a longer life. Shnemar, if you hate gifts, you will live. Why is that? You know, next birthday, when my kid wants a little present, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I love you so much, I don't want to give you a gift. I don't want you to die, I don't want you to get my gifts. Of course, that's not what the pasuk means. It means, yichya doesn't mean necessarily you're going to live to 120 if you are a person that doesn't accept any presents from other people. It means handouts. A matana is something that you get without having to give anything back. It's a free gift. That means you're dependent on another person. If you're dependent on another person, it means that you yourself have no way to sustain your own life. You yourself, therefore, do not have a self-fulfilling life, that you're able to contribute to society in a positive way. And therefore, if you're someone that does not need to be dependent on others, you will be able to live and sustain your own life and also to have a more fulfilling life because you know that you're able to support yourself and appreciate what you've worked for. And we learn, and as it says in Tehillim, a person toils and works, when they eat, it'll be praiseworthy for them, it'll also be good for them in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. You can look at it and say, well, Rashi may be fine and well, however, I've spent a lot of years in yeshiva, I'm a Talmud Chacham, I was in Kolel for many years. And certainly, Chas V'Shalom, I'm not meaning to demean any person that would be learning Torah, which is the greatest and perhaps the most difficult profession. I always tell people it's so much easier to work than to learn all day. It takes a tremendous amount of discipline to be able to learn Torah nonstop all day. A person who is serious about their Limud Torah, we should support them Ad Me'ev Esrim Shana, their entire life. However, if we learn about the Gemara, the Tanoim, the Amoraim, these are the greatest of the Tzaddikim that we learn about. They all had jobs. Rav Yochanan was a shoemaker. Rav Yitzchak was a blacksmith. Hillel, of course, is what we're going to be learning about in a couple of Mishnayos. He chopped wood. He was a lumberjack. Because in Rav Yochanan's eyes, Rav Yitzchak's mind, and according to Hillel, they felt it's better to work, even if that position seems to be below them, than to have to resort to tzedakah. Rav Yisrael Salanter actually says that people who starve to death, they're not really dying of starvation. They're dying of too much dignity. Because some people, and I'm not, of course, saying that this always applies, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says a lot of people, the reason why they are impoverished is not because they need to be, but it's because they have too much dignity that they do not want to accept upon themselves a stronger position. My father always gave me a very strong work ethic. He said, whatever you need to do, you work. And I was a paper boy. I used to spend hours and hours delivering papers every single day. And when it came to the summer, I was in yeshiva already in Ner Yisrael, in Baltimore. And I was in Connecticut for summer vacation. There's a camp there called Camp Mudus. And I called up because I wanted a job. And the rabbi who was speaking to me knew that, you know, I was a yeshiva boy. And I said, I only have one job, and it's a custodian. I said, well, I'm more than happy to do that. I will do anything. He said, you know, I admire your willingness to want to work. However, to me, it's a complete lack of kavod for a yeshiva bachar to be cleaning toilets. And therefore, I can't give you that job. Baruch Hashem, I had a different position, not at that camp, but as a counselor teaching Torah and being with Sameach children during their summer vacation. However, it's the matter of your attitude. And if a person's attitude is, I will do whatever it takes, then in fact, you will not come to starvation. You will not need to come out to tzedakah. Unfortunately, in America, if we look at a lot of the positions, as I'm a mashkiach as well in some factories, very few people are Americans. And I kind of whisper to the owners, I say, you know, are these people legal? And they say, yes, they are. But you wouldn't know that because none of them seem to be, and certainly none of them were born in America, the United States. And I asked them, so why can't you, you know, there's an unemployment rate over here, a high unemployment rate. So because none of them want to work. They don't want to work. They'd rather receive welfare than to get up in the morning and earn an honest income. It says Rashi, quoting the words of Shemaya, Ehovas Malacha. That's not the Jewish way. Love work. The Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, what does it mean to love work? Shloyis batil adam in malacha. A person should not stop working. Ki batom adili di shimum. As we mentioned before, quoting the words brought down in the Bar Tanura, it causes a mental deterioration. Vehimidas atzel. That's laziness. The Amra love, and it's said about such a person from Mishlei, Michoref. In the winter, the guy is very lazy, he doesn't plow his field. And then comes harvest time, he goes and he says, hey, where's all my food? It's gone, I don't have any food. Where did it go? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Shehu Choshev, he thinks, the greatest level of rest is just resting, doing nothing, being lazy your whole life. Interestingly, says that's not the way to enjoy menucha. It's just having 365 days of vacation. Because this person who's lazy didn't work. He didn't plow his fields. Less of a two of iron. This person is not going to have any food. And he's going to die of starvation. That's not menucha. That's ultimately not rest. That's going to add only strife and difficulty and pain, mental anguish in this person's mind. A person who plows in the winter, and he works his land, he'll be satiated with the bread that he eats. Rabbeinu Yonah says a person can only have true rest when they work first. You say, what does this mean? All I need to do is look at the Powerball. The Powerball, person wins millions of dollars. A guy wins $100 million. Do a study and find out what happens to that guy 20 years later. That guy will have no money. Question is, how does he have no money? Is he crazy? You just won $20 million, $100 million. It's because if you don't earn it, you don't appreciate it. And if you don't appreciate what you have, you lose it. The only person that keeps their money is a person that worked for it. Because those people appreciate it. You give money to a child, which is a big problem in many communities, that children are spoiled. They walk in, they have cell phones already in kindergarten. They have nothing to look forward to and nothing to earn and nothing to appreciate. Those types of people lose things. Those people don't appreciate what they have and they have nothing really to grow for and to live for. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, the true level of menucha is if you work for it. Then you'll truly appreciate your rest. And how true that was on my paper route as a little boy. I would literally spend hours delivering papers, breaking a sweat with my little bike with hundreds of papers over my shoulders. I actually had to have two different cases carrying my papers on both sides. And I used to have equal amount or else I'd fall off my bike because it was so heavy if it wasn't equally balanced. Afterwards, I would always, every single day, it ended up being about 8 o'clock at night, literally about 3 hours, I would sit down at a little store and have a little popsicle, a fruit pop. And I sat there, and I'll tell you, I still remember that taste. And I've had them before when my mom gave them to me or when my father gave it to me. It didn't taste the same. Because when you work and work and work and then you finally rest, that's real menucha. That's real rest. And that's also the significance, I believe, of Shabbos. Why was it necessary that Shabbos is day number 7? Let Shabbos be day number 1. And then Hashem, after a day of rest, then He could work and make the world. Days 2 through 7. No. Hashem is teaching us that the only way you can truly have a Yom HaShvi, a 7th day of Shabbos of rest, is only Ki Sheshes Yomim Tavoid, if you work the other 6. Because if you work those other 6, then you can truly appreciate Yom Shabbos Menucha. The Mishnah then explained, after a person should be an Ohav Es Malacha, to Sonas Rabbanus. Person should despise or not want to be part of any form of lordliness or positions of power. Says Rashi, the reason for this is Lefi Shemekareves Es Baleha, because it literally will bury its owners. If you're a leader, you will die earlier. And all you need to do is look at the President of the United States on the first day when he's elected, and only 4 years or maybe 8 years later, and you will ask yourself, did that person age in proportion to other people in this world 4 years later? And the answer is not. The stress that comes along with a position of power where there's tremendous amount of decision making that needs to be made. And hopefully the president will have that stress and not spend his whole days at his camp relaxing. It's Shemekarevis is Bala. If you want to live a long life, don't be a leader. And it's not just the president of the United States. We find this in the Torah as well. Kedomer Mars, the Gemara tells us at the end of Brachos, Ne'mam Meis Yosef Kodem Echav. Yosef was a great guy. I know he was a great guy because of his last name. Yosef's last name was Hatzadik. Yosef Hatzadik. He was a righteous guy. So why was it that he died? Why did he die before anyone else? He was a man who passed all the most difficult nisyonos, the most difficult tests of living in Mitzrayim. He kept them all perfectly. This is his reward for dying? It's not a reward, and it's not a punishment. Rather, it's Mipnei Shenihag Atzmo B'Rabbanus. Because he was the viceroy in Egypt, by accepting a position of leadership, it's not telling us it's a punishment, it's not a reward, it's a metzius. It's a reality. A person who accepts a position of rulership, a leader, the stress will kill him. And therefore, says Shemaya, take it from me, because I'm a leader. And it looks all great and fine and good to be a leader, but trust me, Sonas Rabbanus, stay away from it if you want to live. I always say, perhaps you can even say it's jokingly, but there may be some element of MS to this. The Gemara in Brachos talks about a young boy by the name of Reb Lezer ben Azariah, who's only 18 years old, that he was offered the position of being the Nasi. Can you imagine a teenager, can't even get a drink, he can't gamble, but he'd be the Nasi of all Klal Yisrael. And he asks his wife, hey, do you think it's a good idea? And the second question she says is, you know, I'm concerned. You're a young man, you're a boy, you're a kid. They're not going to respect you. Look at your beard. You have no gray in your beard. And he didn't have an answer, he went to sleep. Gemara says the next day he woke up, a miracle, 18 rows of gray were in his beard. So now, even though he was young, he had the respect of that of an older man. The way I understand, certainly it was a nace. However, I believe it's also teaching Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah an important concept, that you as a nasi, you as a leader, you will age miraculously faster than other people, because of the stress of your position. Now, true, you're not going to grow 18 rows of gray naturally overnight. However, in fact, you will grow gray hairs faster than someone who's not the Nasi, someone who's not in such a position of leadership. Rashi continues and says, V'al tizvad l'rishus, You should not become overly familiar with the government. Says Rashi, Shein mekarvin lo adam el tzarach atzman, because politicians will only say things for their own needs. Sometimes they'll say things that people want to hear to get votes. When I was taking macroeconomics, my professor said, and it's so true, that the goal of a president of the United States, the moment that they are now the president, is to be reelected. They will spend the next 4 years do everything in their power to become reelected. And therefore, they will say things and do things which might not even in the long term be what's best for the nation, which is an issue of a president only being 4 to 8 years, is because everything they do is short-term thinking, because they're only focused on their own position and the position of the other people that they've filled. So you have to be very careful what they say, because they will say things not for the true meaning of their words, but just to win you over when they need you. But afterwards, when they no longer need you, they'll throw you by the curbside. It's brought down by Rav Avraham Puzel that the word about tizvada or shus, the word tizvada comes from the word yodea, no. Do not be known as a leader. It's a very important concept. When we had the presidential elections, and there was a popular vote in which, if we would have followed that, Senator Lieberman, who now perhaps may not be the senator anymore in Connecticut, would have been the vice president of the United States. And a lot of people ask, is that good for the Jews or bad for the Jews? Because that's really the most important question a Jewish person has to ask. When they vote, they have to think, what's best for Israel? What's best for Klal Yisrael? According to Avraham Puzel, I gather that it would not have been good for Senator Lieberman to be in the Vice President of the United States. Why not? Have a powerful, a Jewish person, a powerful person, to be able to help us. He would make sure that terrible tragedies would not happen. And if they did, he would be the first to speak up on behalf of the Jewish people. Let me ask you a question. We're approaching September 11th, 5th anniversary. September 11th, 2001. If Senator Lieberman was the Vice President of the United States, September 11th would have happened regardless if it was him or it was Dick Cheney. Now let me ask you, if Senator Lieberman was the Vice President of the United States and September 11th happened, would any person, would there be an article, would there be some type of editorial that would have stated that the reason why this happened is because of the Jews? We already know, based on certain movies such as The Protocols of Zion, that they said the Jews were never even there. No Jews died at September 11th, which is complete checker. We know them personally, that unfortunately many people died who were Jewish. However, we believe what we want to believe, and we hear what we want to hear. Says Rav Avraham Puzel, it might very well be better to stay away. Don't be in the limelight. Because if we are, people will start pointing fingers and start blaming us. And that's not something which we need. Says the Rambam, what does it mean, Rishus? Zehu Hashlitonos. Control, power. Ve'elu Shosh Midos Yesh Behen. Three characteristics. Tikun Hamuna Oilam. He says that our person who has this position of power, there's always the problem, the possibility that you may fall, you may end up being involved in stealing or lewdness, inappropriate behavior. And therefore he says, distance yourself from this, because otherwise it will lead to nisyonos ba'olam v'ros. You're going to have tests, troubles, difficulties, things that you do not need to involve yourself in. And therefore, he says, distance yourself from having to put yourself in such a position. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, V'altis Vada Rishus, Ki Avodas HaRishus Hi Kasha An Mo'od. It's a very difficult thing to be a political head, to have a position of power, of authority in the government. Al kol panim, kivon shemikabel of om melech bas of adam. If you accept upon yourself the yoke of a human king, you will have to listen to him, because he rules over you, and your job will hang in the balance of whether or not he'll let you stay in that position or punish you if you make a wrong decision because you put yourself up there, having to listen to this king. Sofo lifrok o malchus shemayim. You can't have both worlds. If you're going to listen to a king of flesh and blood, you'll end up throwing away the yoke of heaven, of malchus shemayim. That king, our king of king, ulvatel hamitzvos, God forbid, you'll end up not doing the mitzvos, kumispachid min harishus, because you'll be so concerned of breaking the laws or hurting the feelings of melech bas of adam. So therefore, v'al tisvad harishus. It's brought down in the Medrash Shmuel that this whole Mishnah is really talking about the rabbinical world. This position is for rabbis. And when the Mishnah says, Avos HaMelachos, Sanei HaRabbanos, it means to the rabbis, love work. Love work. If you are a rabbinical figure, if you're a pulpit rabbi, love the work of the job. The learning, the kira, the outreach, the shiurim, the preparations, the sermons, the interaction with people. Sanes Rabbanus, hate the Rabbanus part. The Rabbanus is the kibudim, all the different honors that you're going to receive. You don't need kibudim. And if a person runs after kibudim, it shows that they themselves have a low self-esteem. They have self-esteem issues. Sanes Rabbanus, certainly they are supposed to give kibudim. They're supposed to honor the Rav. And if you show that it's not important, then they will also not show kavod. Not for yourself, but for kavod Torah. However, you yourself should not care for it. It was brought down a story of a rabbi that was at a dinner. And he was in a hallway by himself. And he was pacing back and forth, talking to himself. For a while, someone walked up and said, what are you doing? Are you okay? I've never seen you doing this. It's kind of strange. Why are you talking to yourself? And he walked up to him and he said, no, it's not true. It's not true. No, 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 no. That's what he kept saying. It's not true. No, 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 no. He said, what are you saying? He said, because I know in a few minutes I'm going to go to this dinner and I'm being honored and everyone's going to be talking about me and saying all these great kibbutim. Sounds like it's going to be a hesved, some type of eulogy, like I'm alive, which is what, there's a book called Tuesdays with Murray that's, oh, it's such a great thing to have a living hesved so you can hear about all the great things about yourself while you're alive. That's not true. You don't need to build up and have such a huge ego in this world. It's okay to deflate your tires. You don't need to have people talking about you. And the rabbi said, that's why in my mind I kept saying, don't listen to them. It's not true. It's not true. Because otherwise it may affect me negatively. I'll become a Baal Gaiva. You know, become a haughty person. Because after all, I'm not looking for kavod. I'm sonus rabbanus. It's a joke about being a rav. They say, being a rabbi, a pulpit rabbi, is not a job for a nice Jewish boy. In fact, the Chazon Ish, before he married, one of the positions he said to his wife-to-be is, I do not want to be a rabbi. I do not want a pulpit rabbi position. And what ended up happening, talk of the Chazon Ish, his wife supported him based on a store that she had. And afterwards, when he was older and he had a lot of svarim, he sold a lot of his books. And that's how they were able to make a parnasa. He distanced himself from the position. The question is, so are the greatest tzaddikim not rabbanim? Are the pulpit rabbis people that are looking after kibbudim? I'd like to conclude with the following story. The story of the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim says over, there was a Rav, it was not the Chavetz Chaim, it was a rabbi, that in his community there was a person that was arrested. And he was arrested for tax fraud, and he was going to be in jail for 15 years in a Siberian jail. And I'll tell you, being in a jail in Siberia is not like being in a jail in the United States where there's air conditioning and you have colored TV and you have all these different rights. There's no such thing as rights. And whatever they did, there's nothing you can do about it. So he knew because of his tax fraud, his life was over. And when he was being dragged out of this community, he saw the rabbi on the street. He said, "Rabbi, it's your fault!" The rabbi said, What do you mean? What did I do? He said, "Rabbi, you knew what I was doing. And you should have spoke up. The fact that you didn't speak up, now I am in trouble. It's your fault." The Chafetz Chaim says, you know, this guy, based on this story, is right. Now, one second. What does the Chafetz Chaim mean that this guy was right? He certainly knew he was breaking the law. He knew that he was wrong. However, a Rav is not allowed to be quiet. You have an obligation to rebuke your congregants. You have an obligation to rebuke a fellow Jew if you see them doing something wrong. Says the Chafetz Chaim that a rabbi will get punished in Olam Haba, not just for their own mistakes, but anyone in their kehila that he could have rebuked, and possibly they would have listened to his words. Such a person, a Rav, will receive an oinesh because they are the leaders, and a leader has to give that guidance. And therefore, sonus rabbanus, you really shouldn't pursue such a job. It's a scary job. It's a job which not only am I held accountable, but I'm accountable for all the actions of hundreds of other people. And therefore, in Yom Kippur, when a Rav is saying, "Ashanu Baganu," not just thinking about themselves. You have to be thinking, was I able to rebuke that person who was a thief in my congregation? Was I able to do something to prevent someone from doing Nevera? If not, I'm held accountable. So then the question is, should we become Rabbanim? Should I be a rabbi? Maybe I shouldn't. The answer is no. You should not think that way. You should 100% accept the position of being a Rav. Why? Sonus Rabbanus. Because if you have the attitude of Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, fear of Hashem's mitzvos, when you are the Rav, you will be careful. Because if you don't accept that position because you're so scared to accept the position because sonus rabbanus, someone else will take that position. And that other person will not be a Yiras Shamayim. That other person is not God-fearing. They'll accept it without doing what they should be doing. And therefore, all of us amalacha, sonus rabbanus. You should hate the position. You should have the fear of being a Rav because of the leadership it entails. But all of us amalacha, love doing that work. Because if you have that Yiras Shamayim, then you are the possible potential to uplift an entire community. Because if you walk away from that community and someone else takes that position, you can't say that you're the innocent one. Because you could have done something positive and you didn't. And therefore, says the Midrash Shmuel, Avas HaMelacha, love work, love being the Rav.